Okay. All right. So, I tend to struggle to think of a theme or something to talk about in the message, because I'm like, oh, it's probably all been said already, and I'm just going to be rehashing it. But this one popped into my head purely because of the time in which I'm speaking. So I looked at the rotor, and it said, oh, you're speaking on the 3rd of December. So I was like, ooh, the countdown begins. And the 3rd of December, obviously we're in December, and everything's all about Christmas. And when I thought about that, the first thing that came into my head was the good news. And I remember the passage in Luke 2, 9 to 10, you probably read it yesterday. It says, an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. And I thought, that is what Christmas essentially is about. It's about the good news. And I thought, this is the perfect opportunity. If you're ever going to talk about Jesus to friends or colleagues, this is it. Because the season is Christmas. It's literally in the word Christmas. Oh, what are you doing for Christmas? Well, and then you can just tell them all about the church stuff you're doing. So I thought, this is a perfect opportunity in which you can talk about Jesus, and it's not awkward because this whole season is about him. So this morning I'm going to talk about the good news. If you're new here, good morning. I'm going to explain myself a little bit. I have certain habits that I've developed because I teach. So, you know, on the weekend I still haven't switched off from teacher mode. So this morning I'm going to take you into my classroom and we'll do a little bit of an English lesson, okay? I promise it'll be interesting. Okay. Oh, if this would work. Oh, Chima, you might have to help me out with this slide. Yeah. Oh, Chima's done something. He's sabotaged me. Oh, there we go. All right, cool. I've got it now. Right. So, anyone in education? Just you can put your hands up. This is my teacher vibe coming out. Okay. So he's hiding. So, in English, sometimes we have something called the 5 W's, okay? And then the H tagged along. The 5 W's sounds really snazzy. It's quick. And then you got the H. H is like the when you want to go play with your friends and your mum says, oh, no, take your little brother with you. And then it turns out your brother's better at football than you. No? Just me then. Okay. So the H is there, but H is important. So we've got the who, what, when, where, why, and how. Okay? Some of you are doing mental maths to think, how long is this going to be? If he's going to spend 5 minutes on each point, how long is this going to be? I promise I won't keep you too long. So the first one I want to focus on is who. Okay? So who is this season focus on? Who is the gospel all about? And it's a simple answer, but most of you are saying it in your head right now. And it's centered in Christ. And Paul was dedicated to making sure we knew it was centered in Christ. In Romans it says, concerning his son, Jesus Christ our Lord, who was born of the seed of David according to the flesh. And the good news is all about this person, Jesus, this live human being that you can touch and feel and walk around with. And it's all about him. And when Pastor Glenn read the scripture in Luke, and he said, oh, here's the boring bit. And then he went to the names of the son of this, the son of this, the son of this. And he said it has significance because, and it mentions David, and David was a king. And through that lineage, that's the fleshly confirmation that Jesus had the right, the authority to be king. It was passed down. So that list of names, those people who had their flaws, who were fully human, and Jesus is part of that lineage where he had the authority to rule. It was passed down to him. And only a human being could have taken the place of us in terms of dying for our sins. Only a human being could have come that we could relate to in that sense. In Romans 1:4 it says, and he was declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead. And we all know the scripture or the story of Jesus, how he died and rose again. And that showed that not only was he fully man, but he was also fully God. And this is what it talks about. And there are scriptures in the Old Testament that precede this, that let us know that this is going to happen. And Advent and the season we're in is when that manifestation happens, when God comes down as man And that's what this whole thing is about. And he is the good news. That's the good news that we want to share. Okay, that's who it's about. It's not about Santa. It's not about Lidl's prices. Yeah, it's about Jesus. It's about God who came down as man. Okay. The next bit is what. So what is the gospel? And the gospel is good news. It's the wonderful message that we have redemption through Christ. That's essentially what the gospel is. And it's at the heart of Christianity. Whatever we do, whether we put on shows, whether we go out into the streets, the heart of it is the gospel. This is what it's all about. And this is the boring teachery bit coming up. Okay, so I did a little bit of research about the word. And it says the English noun gospel comes from the Anglo-Saxon term Godspell, meaning glad tidings. So literally, the gospel means good news. It is translated from the Greek evangelion, which means good message. Originally, it was a word related to news of military triumph. But when the New Testament was recorded, its writers assigned it to the term gospel, to the good news of salvation in Jesus Christ. So even the word itself is saying good news. When we share the gospel, we are literally sharing good news. And the gospel of good news is because in God, in Jesus, we find the promise of forgiveness from sin. And it says in Romans 1:16-17, let me find my scripture. It says, I am not ashamed of the gospel, because it is the power of God that brings salvation to everyone who believes. First to the Jew, then to the Gentile. For in the gospel of righteousness, God is revealed, a righteousness that is by faith from first to last. So this thing, this gospel, this good news has power. There is something of power behind it. It's not just a sentence. It's not just like a throwaway comment. It is filled with something that changes lives. According to the gospel, sin separated us from God, and he paid the price so that we can be reconciled with him. He was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. And this is the punishment that was put upon him. And the gospel is good news because everyone who receives him can now come back. All of us have sinned and fallen short of the glory. And this was God's way to bring us back to him. This is the what. So when we say, oh, what is the good news? Good news is redemption. The good news is Jesus came down to die, literally the reason he came down for our sins, so that we can be reconciled with him. Right, so that's who and what. Now when? This is the awkward one. So, oh, we're supposed to share the gospel, but when do I really tell my friends about it? Do I do it straight away? Do I wait until I've known them a couple of weeks? Do I wait for them to bring it up? Do I wait till they say something about church? Do I wait for someone else to plant the seed, and then I'll go along and help along? And I thought of it as a situation that happened to me at work, and it happens to me a lot, okay, more often than it should. And it's to do with names. You would think that someone who works in education, I do the register every day, I should be good with names. But I think my hard drive in here is full of too many names. But a new colleague came to work at our school just for like a term. And I was walking around and I saw her in the classroom. I thought, oh, let me introduce myself to her and just be friendly. I said, oh, hi, I'm Godfrey. And she said her name and I missed it. And she was saying something else. And I thought, you should ask her again. Ask her what her name is again. But too much time had passed. She'd said all these things, and I'd said more things. And when the time went, I said, okay, great, have a good day. If there's anything you need, I'm in the classroom down the end of the corridor. Okay, bye. Then a week goes by. I see her in the staff room. Oh, hey, how's it going? But I don't know her name. And I think, oh, I'll just ask her. The longer you leave it, the worse it's going to get. And to the end, to the point where it was her last week, and I know. Someone audibly went, oh. I know, it's shameful. It was her last week, and we were doing like a collection thing. Oh, you know, everybody chip in, and we'll get her a card. Oh, her name's Louise. So I was like, oh, this whole time. I should have just asked at the beginning, get the awkwardness out of the way, and then like, oh, morning, Louise, how's it going? A bit more personal rather than, oh, is everything okay? How's it going? And so when I think about when do I share the gospel, this is me personally, I think, whenever the opportunity arises. And sometimes it's not going to feel comfortable. It's not going to feel like, oh, this is the time to do it. But when the opportunity arises, that's when it should be done. Whether it's the first meeting or the second one, or they make a comment and, oh, I should say something. I think that's when you should do it. Sooner rather than later. We don't know how much time they've got. We don't know how much time we've got. And when the opportunity arises, we should take it. So I'm telling myself, if I miss someone's name, I'm going to ask them. So this is, I'm going to say this to you guys as well, because I am terrible with names. If I miss your name, and I look like I'm thinking about asking, just say it again. Just, oh, by the way, did you catch that? And that would help me out a lot. And when it comes to when, you know, as soon as the opportunity arises, that's when. That's the when. Where do we share the gospel? Where do we share the good news? I'll tell you where. In Matthew 28:16, it says, then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. Then Jesus said to them, came to them and said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you, and surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. I love that last bit. It just makes me feel like, okay, cool. Everything's going to be all right. But it says all nations, okay? Not just the holiday destinations, all nations. And I remember when I was younger in church, and in East Ham, we had a lady who was in charge of the, like, missions news, and she was always in touch with the Elim missions in different places. And I think it was every month she would come up and she would give us an update. Oh, you know, this is happening in Honduras, this is happening in the Philippines. And I used to think, oh man, I'm glad I'm not there. I'm glad I'm not called to go into somewhere else to do it. And then fast forward to 2024 forward. Rewind back a little bit, we're going to 2008, and we get this opportunity in our youth group to go over to the Philippines to join and do missions work. And I thought, oh, okay, at least I'm with my friends. And at that point, I was really into EastEnders. I don't know why. And I was like, okay, how do I miss 2 weeks of EastEnders and catch up? Because so many things happen in one episode. If I miss one or two, what do I do? Because there's no, anyway. Went over there, and I did not miss TV at all. Did not miss it. And I think the focus was on what we were doing. The focus was we were trying to deliver good news. We went up to some mountain villages. There was a church at top of the mountain, and we preached there. We went to another what do I call it? Like I don't know if it's a village, but it was in a graveyard. Like these people lived in the graveyard. We went there and we shared the gospel. We put on dances and shows, all kinds of stuff, purely because we wanted to share the good news. And that was God taking me out of my comfort zone, literally. Go out there, you know, you're going to... I did one sermon where I don't know if it's in someone's back garden or something, but I just remember we were sat in a circle. I've got a hat on because it's so hot. And in so many different uncomfortable positions. And that's where God says. In Mark 16:15, he says... go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Another translation says this. Go tell it on the mountain, over the hills and everywhere. Go tell it on the mountain that Jesus Christ is born. And I thought, why mountain? Mountain, well, it's high. And I thought, if anything's going to put you out of your comfort zone, it's a mountain. My in-laws, we love going to the lakes, and I go with them, and I remember this one walk we did, and I don't know the name of the mountain or hill. Was it? It might have been called the Old Man or Great Gable or something, but it was cold that day. It was cold, and we, you know, we got all our jackets and waterproofs and stuff on, and we're climbing, and we get kind of to the top, and it was so cold that we had to have lunch in like a dip in the mountain just because the wind was coming, so it was almost like a crater. So we were there, and we had to have a lunch there, but the walk was difficult. It was like jagged, there was water, there was ice, there was wind, and it was uncomfortable, it was hard. And doing this, where we say, go everywhere and tell it, it's difficult. I'm not going to sit here and stand here and say, oh, just go and do it. It is difficult. It will take you out of your comfort zone. But as Christians, if we're followers of God, then we need to be people who obey what God says. And if he says, go tell it on the mountain, I'm going to have to put my boots on and go tell it on the mountain. I also realized that you could change these lyrics. Okay. So those gaps, you can put in whatever you want. Go tell it at the Tesco. Yeah. At the bus stop and on the train. Yeah. If you don't want to climb a mountain, you can put in your own places in this, and that's where you should go and tell it. If you're comfortable in your office and you're like, you know what, I'm going to start there, that's where you should go. That's maybe that's your mountain. It might be at the bus stop. You see the same person every day. Like, I should say hello to them. I should at least find out their name. Yeah, and maybe that's you. And then just put it in there, and that's what we do. And I want to encourage you, in the parable of the sower, the sower is sowing seeds, and some of it falls on different types of ground. And that's the kind of different types of people that, you know, you might share the message with, and you get different feedback, you get different reactions. But I want to encourage you not to be put off by the fact that some people are going to receive it and some people will reject it, because it's what will happen. The seed that fell on, some seed fell on the path and the birds ate it. Some fell on rocky ground and there was a little soil, so they seemed committed, and then life's troubles got in the way. Some fell in the bushes, and when they grew, thorns, you know, choked them. And then some fell on good soil, and then they grew, and then they produced fruit. So when we share this, wherever we go, when we tell it, there will be people who receive it, and there will be people who won't. But let's not try and look for, oh, this one looks like they will receive it, and I'm going to choose that one. Or, oh, this one looks like, you know, they believe in a totally different God, so it's going to be really difficult. So this one looks okay, and then plant that one. It needs to be everywhere. And the analogy I'm going to use is, I'm going to take you into nature now. And the seed on the left is, I think it's from a sycamore tree. And I just knew those as, oh, look, helicopters. Because when they fall, they spin, and they don't just fall straight down. They fall, and they spin, and the wind carries them, and it travels, it goes far. And then it lands, and then it lands in the soil, and it grows. Now, the tree that kind of lets off these seeds doesn't think, where is the best soil that, oh, just right here, and I'll just plant it there, and maybe one over here. It goes everywhere. Some of them go in kids' pockets because they take them home, and they throw them off, and they spin. Some will fall on the path, on a rocky path. Some will fall on good soil. Some might fall in the road. But it goes everywhere. Everywhere. We can't pick and choose who we share the good news with. It needs to be everywhere. Same thing with the dandelions. Again, all of these things are created by God. They work by design. So the dandelions, those little things that float, and people say, oh, make a wish. Yeah? And then it travels on the wind, it lands somewhere, and it grows, and it does it again and again and again. Those little ones are, I think they're burdock seeds or burrs, and they're the things that stick to your socks. I don't know if you've ever gone for a walk in the countryside, and you come home, you're like, what on earth? And they're all stuck to your socks. Those are seeds, guys, and that's how they transport. So they get stuck on someone, you go for a walk, you notice it, pick it off, and you throw it down, and then it finds good soil, it grows. The last one, way that seeds are dispersed, is poo, okay? I'm not going to show that, okay? Don't worry. But creatures, animals, squirrels in the forest, they'll eat the fruit, and the seed survives in the stomach. The animals go off, do their business. The seed is planted, and then it grows, okay? So there are so many different ways that we can share the gospel, but we don't want to be picky about where we do it or how we do it. It just needs to be done. If we're going to, you know, if it's going on the wind like the seas, it goes. If it's like the animal poo, that's one way. But whatever it is, we just kind of need to get on and do it. So that's the where. The why. Why are we doing it? Well, firstly, the gospel creates new life. And this means anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. The old life is gone and a new life has begun. And God places people in our lives, whether it's family members or co-workers, and they don't know God. And not being in a relationship with God means that they're spiritually dead. It sounds a bit harsh, but you know, if we believe in the gospel and the true good news, that's what it means. And it's on us to create that new life by sharing the gospel with them. The second reason is that God made the gospel our mission. I read in Mark where it says, go out into all the nations. And that's a direct instruction. Go, tell. If you want to put it into two small verbs, it's just go, tell. Very simple. Don't overthink it. Don't try and dress it up. The gospel is the gospel. It is the truth in its purest form. And it's on us to just go and tell. And every one of us, every follower, has that mandate to go and tell. You don't have to be an evangelist. You don't have to be in a worship team. You don't have to be great at speaking. It's on us to do it because that's what God has asked us to do. Obedience isn't always easy, but if we want to try and be what God wants us to be, if we want Him to use us, then at some point we're going to have to let go of our concerns and follow what He's saying. And the next one, three, it says God says the spiritual harvest is ripe. He said to His disciples in Matthew 9:37, the harvest is great, but the workers are few. So there are people who are looking for something, people who are ready, people who are good soil, as it were. And if nobody plants, nothing grows. So it's on us. Again, we can't be picky about who we want to share it with. We can't share it with people who are like us or we're comfortable with, because we don't know if that person is ripe and waiting for it, and we don't do it and they miss an opportunity. So that's the third one, ripe onto harvest. So that's who, what, when, where, and why. Now we come to how. So how do we do it? Is there a formula? Is there a pattern of speech that you use? I went to a seminar a few years ago, and it was to do with like running businesses and things like that. And they give you this formula about how you write a letter if you want investment or something like that. You start with this, then you do this. If they say this, then you do this. If this happens, then you do this. And it takes you through every single step. Unfortunately, there isn't really a formula for sharing the good news. It just is what it is. So how do we do it? There are several different ways. And with that, I'm going to share a story. Okay? So this is Champigny's. Anyone heard of Champigny's? It's like a spa resort. And this is from 2015. So it was our first wedding anniversary. And we survived that first year. Now, we didn't live together before, so we learned a lot of new things about each other that year. I said, oh, is that how you stack the dishwasher? Okay, all right. Things like that. But we made it through, and we were celebrating. We went to Tring, booked a couple of days there. And we got there. It was a nice drive, far enough out of London that you think you've gone somewhere, but close enough so that the drive home doesn't feel like a chore. It was a perfect location. So we're driving there, playing music in the car, all romantic, lovey-dovey. And we get to the car park. As you approach, there's signs saying, oh, reception here, this thing here, this there. And a VIP over here. I thought, oh, well, I'm not VIP, but Jesus loves me. So I went and parked in the normal customer bit, got out of the car, and someone's yelling. They're yelling somewhere. And I couldn't see anyone else in the car park. And you know, you have those situations where someone's shouting, something's happening, and you think, oh, I hope it's not me. So you do that look to see who it could be, and there's nobody there. So I step out of the car, looking around. There's nobody else. I think he's talking to me. Am I parked in the disabled area? No, not the disabled area. I'm what's going on? And he's getting closer and closer, and he's saying things, and I'm picking bits up, but it's not quite making sense. And he gets closer and closer, and this is him. This is the guy there. He looks friendly now. 10 seconds before this picture, he was a total stranger, and I was a bit afraid. But he gets to us, and we eventually make sense of what he's saying. And he said, oh, my daughter is in Bake Off. Great British Bake Off. How many of you know that? People are keeping their hands down because they don't want to say. It's okay. It's fine. It's fine. So the Great British Bake Off. Oh, my daughter's in it. And he was a chef at this resort. And he said, oh, the other chefs have presented me with this to celebrate the fact that my daughter's in Bake Off. And he was super excited. We didn't know him, he didn't know us, but he had this good news to share. So much so that he was prepared to shout at strangers in a car park to tell us his daughter's. And that made us excited. Oh, great, let's take a picture. I don't know why we said let's take a picture. He goes, okay, let's take a picture. So we took this picture. This picture was taken on the 10th of August, 2015 at precisely 10:55 and 50 seconds. And we took this picture. And he said, oh, but don't share it on social media, though. They were like, okay, yeah, no, we'll just keep it, like, you know, congratulations and everything. Anyway, this is his daughter, Nadia, yeah. So that year, suddenly, Bake Off was a big deal for us. Tuesday night, we were watching. I think this is when it was still on BBC One. Everyone remember that those times? Yeah. And Tuesday, we would watch it. And we'd be rooting for Nadia. And there'll be some weeks where she's doing really well. No, I think she's okay. I think she's safe this week. And some weeks where it's like, oh, no, she might be in the bottom two. And we were so invested in it. We became connoisseurs of the Bake Off. We knew things like vol-au-vents and did you know there are three types of meringue? Yeah. What else did I find out? I don't know. We became students of the souffle. But that year we got really, really invested in it because someone had shared something that was so uplifting for them, that meant so much to them, and then it made us even more invested in what they were talking about. Now, I'm not saying we should go running around to our car parks shouting at people. If that works, it works. But the whole point is he was so genuine in the good news that he was sharing that it did something to us. It made us take a picture with a total stranger. But that genuine from the heart, I don't know what the word is, but it was just so infectious what he had to share. And he did it in such a simple way. He just told us what it was. And he didn't... I don't know. He must not have overthought it. He must not have thought, oh, what if they say, oh, get away from me? What if they say this? He must have just been so filled with joy. He's like, I need to tell someone. Oh, I see them. He came straight for us. They're not parked in the VIP. I go straight for them. And he shared it with us. And it meant so much. And I always thought to myself, I always think back to the way he did it and how he did it. And he didn't overthink it. And sometimes I overthink. I used to overthink a lot. I don't, not so much now. But he changed something in me where now if I want to say something, more often than not, I will say it. If it's to do with names, I'm still a little bit, you know, I'm still working on that. But that was such an encouragement to me that someone who had good news to share just wanted to share it. And that was it. So he planted that seed, as it were. He planted it in us. And then that made us go and watch Bake Off. We learned things from it, and now we're fans of it. It's never been as good as when she was on it, because we were so invested in that one. But I want to encourage you guys that when we share the gospel, it is like we're planting a seed. And sometimes we want to plant it, we want to water it, we want to see it grow, we want the fruit, we want to taste the fruit, and we want to be the reason that happened. And sometimes it's not like that. Sometimes all we do is plant the seed, and we walk away. And then maybe someone else comes along and they water it and they walk away. And all plants need light. All plants need light. And the Bible calls us light of the world. So even if we're thinking, you know what, I'm not really good at speaking. I'm not the type of person to approach someone and speak. The way we live, how we are, is also a way that we share. Yeah, the way we dress, our mannerisms, how we interact with people, some of the phrases we say, some of the songs we might hum and say, oh, what are you singing? And I'll just tell them, oh, this song we sang in church on Sunday. All those things, the way we are, remember the Spirit lives in us. When we walk into a room, this is not to sound egotistical, but when we walk into a room and the Spirit is in us, something should shift. There should be something that's different in the room. And I do that when I cover someone else's class. Like I go into the year fours or something, and I step into the room, I fully expect that I'm bringing something in there. I'm bringing, whether it's some kind of positivity or something, but something's going to change. And that's the light. That's what it means when we say light of the world. And by being light, we encourage plants to grow. That's why I love that church fellowship is so important, because we're all plants here. We're all growing. We're trying to produce fruit, but we're also light. We're light for each other. We encourage each other to grow. So I just want to land by saying, in this season where we're thinking about Christmas, where we're thinking about the good news, I think the most important thing we can do is to share it. One thing you can do is you grab one of those tickets from Mike, and don't worry about whether the person you give it to can come or not, or whether they're going to be like, ah, you know, I can't really come. Just give it. Just give it. You might be the second or third person who's invited him to something at church, and they say, you know what? Three people have invited me. I need to go. All we need to do is our part. All we need to do is share and let God do the rest. So I just want to encourage you in this season. The opportunities will be there. The opportunities are all around. And just go with what the Spirit leads in how you do it. Don't try and be someone else. Just be genuine, like our friend over there. Just be genuine and share it, and God will do the rest. So, yeah, I just thank you for your time this morning, and I just really want to encourage you to just share. It's good news. Amen.